Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I'm adjusting my audio. Praise the Lord. Good morning. And this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled show for you today. We have been talking about reaping the harvest, your seed, the harvest, and certainly we are going to give a lesson. The Lord has given us a lesson along that line as we continue on with the theme of this month, which is reaping the harvest. Certainly, I want to give a shout-out to my co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and she will be your host on next week. So praise God for her. And now let's get to it, shall we? Of course, we always begin with our announcements. I have several announcements this morning. First of all, Evangelist Terry Rogers is celebrating 52 years of pastoral ministry. Pastor Copperwood Sr. and his wife will be in their anniversary at Wallace Temple Church of God in Christ, located 9229 South Drexel Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Thank God for her and her pastor and them celebrating 52 years of ministry. That is an accomplishment again. Evangelist Terry Rogers will be celebrating her pastor on Sunday, this Sunday, actually. This Sunday, October the 24th, the service starts at 3 p.m. Go and support her. She is part of this ministry, and certainly we want to give her all the support that we can. Again, Wallace Temple Church of God in Christ is located at 9229 South Drexel, and the time of that service is at 3 p.m. I know they got some kind of preacher, and you will hear word. Also, it's a lot going on. On this Sunday, I will be at Christ Deliverance Center, and they present It's Me Sunday. And we will be talking about the struggle is real, dealing with reality, restoration and healing in the following areas: mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We will be going forth. This service happens every fourth Sunday at 2:30 p.m. I am your presenter. I will be dealing with mental health, our stability, and how we stay strong with the help of the Lord. So again, the name of this church is Christ Deliverance Center, located at 8226 South Muskegon, Chicago, Illinois, 60617. And certainly if you don't get there this Sunday, see me next month because we will be going forth every month on the fourth Sunday. And, of course, lastly, certainly God has called us into prayer. We are praying Amazing Grace Ministries. We are praying at high noon every Friday. And we are interceding for our loved ones. We're interceding for the world that we're living in. And this is a corporate prayer. And we are called to be intercessors. And we will be lifting up an issue doing that prayer at noon. And that will be the focus. We want to break the yokes of bondage, to destroy, to kill it, and to set the captives free. That is the vision of this ministry, is to set the captives free. If you're bound, if you don't know how to make it, we certainly want to speak a word or deliver a word or something that will loose the captives, that will loose you from your bondage, loose you from your faulty thinking, loose the enemy's hands that's gripping your neck to set you free. Praise God. And now, this ministry has been a blessing to you, and that's only if this ministry has been a blessing to you. Consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, and you can send those monetary donations to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., or AGMI. If you're sending a check or money order, I would encourage you to send cash. If you're sending a check or money order, just make those checks or money orders out to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., or AGMI. And that's the abbreviations. To everyone listening out there in radio land, I decree blessings upon you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I would request that you express it via text, via email, and you can email me at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com, and that's amazing, AMAGEN, graceministries@gmail.com. And, of course, my phone number is 309-750-7584. Praise God. So let's get into our lesson, shall we? We're living in a fallen world. We're living in a time where we see all kinds of evil happening, and now we're getting into the transition from summer to fall and eventually winter. And certainly if we look out our windows, we see the trees and how it seems that the trees even know how to change. They begin to turn from green to yellow to red. And of course, they look so pretty. When you see the harvest, they're still on the trees. And they begin to look so beautiful and so pretty as they transition. But we know that eventually those leaves will drop from those trees and hit the ground, indicating that those leaves have died. And we see that winter is coming. We see that we are on the verge of celebrating Halloween. And we know that this time also is a time of harvest. It's time to reap the harvest. And that has been our theme. We've been talking about reaping the harvest. And certainly on last week, we talked about the seed and how important that seed is to be able to reap that harvest. Because if you don't plant the seed, certainly you can't reap the harvest. And that has been our theme for this month, reaping the harvest, because in essence, we want to plant seeds that God has given to us that he, of course, may be well pleased, but he may reap the benefits. And so if we sow into the Lord, God is faithful and just to give us a harvest of whatever we've sown. If we sow financial into a ministry, then God is faithful and just to give you what you've given out tenfold, because that is God's word. That is God's principle. That is what God has said that he would do. Mm-hmm. If you bless somebody out of your heart, then God is going to bless you, because that is the principle that God goes by. So we have a word that's going to captivate you, that's going to illuminate you, that's going to encourage you, that's going to be a blessing to you on this journey as we look to the peace of the Lord to give us rest in this weary and fallen world. Because we need the peace. We have been dealing with a pandemic that seems as if it will not stop. And even with the vaccinations, if you have underlying conditions and you get vaccinated, it will be better for you. But then there are some that have also passed on or made their transition, even had the vaccination. I'm talking about General Colin Powell, who made his transition on last week from labor to reward. But God is still in control. So this fourth Sunday, we've got a lesson. And the title of this lesson is The Harvest Belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's read 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to 15 to 18. And he said, "Hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but belongs to God. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they came up by the cliff of this, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jerel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, we've been talking about harvest, and I want to talk about a spiritual harvest, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the background of the text. Now, when we're looking at spiritual harvest in the natural, beginning in a harvest has always been a season of great celebration. The reward for sowing, watering, and protecting seed symbolizes an abundance of fruit from a season of work and sacrifice. So when you work for the Lord, you're looking for a harvest. When it comes to a spiritual harvest, our expectations should be the same. Sow, wait, and reap. I want you to get in your mind. Sow, wait, and reap. A lot of times we don't want to wait on the Lord. We put our time in, but we want to get ahead of the Lord, like Saul, who got ahead of the Lord and couldn't wait for Samuel. Mm-hmm. A spiritual harvest is the result of God's work in the hearts of man. It is clear from the parable of the seed and the sower that some people's hearts are good soil. When the word of God is sown there, the people accept it and continue to mature. Now, we talked about seed and sowing and the parables of the sower and sowing on good ground, bad ground. And we talked about the four types or the three types and the ground in which the seed fell, and how the seed was either eaten up, it didn't fall on good soil, it blew away. And then the last one is the fact that the seed fell on good ground, which was able to produce produce a harvest. Mm-hmm. So the word harvest means, and I'm going to remind you, that this was, the word harvest was a word with roots in many languages that indicated a season of autumn. Going back even further, the root communicated the idea of plucking or cutting fruit with shears. Some derivatives of the word also include the idea of celebrating plucking, such as harvest home or harvest moon. And certainly when we look at the Jews, there are types of harvest that they celebrate and look to in their culture. And there are types, and certainly we would do that, and we'd finish that up next week, because harvesting or harvest, which ends up to be first fruits, and, you know, you get first fruits, and certainly at the beginning of the year we talk about first fruits. We talk about giving your first to the Lord, and that's a big thing in terms of the harvest. It's associated actually with harvest, first fruits, because that first harvesting, that first part of the harvest belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we see that it's used in Genesis, first time in Genesis 8 and 22, and the word Noah just after God's word to Noah just after they came out of the ark after the flood in 8:22, while the earth remained seed time and harvest and cold and heat and the summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So that was a promise, actually, that God made to Noah. So when we look at harvest, and we've talked about this, actually, we kind of outlined it in the first week or the first Saturday in October. It refers to harvesting ripe crops. The Bible uses the same word to refer to the remnants of Israel and the resurrection, the rapture of the believers from the earth. And we see the following passages of Scripture. Jeremiah 5 and 24 reads, "Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter. In his season he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest." So once we look at all of that, we begin to understand that the harvest, the sowing, God uses us to plant a seed, a seed that he gives us, because we are literally his and we have been bought with a price. He made us. He created us. He gave his breath for our man, for mankind. And what are you talking about, Dr. Carey? Well, I tell you, when he created Adam, he blew his breath into Adam's body. And therefore, Adam received God's spirit. And the Bible says we were made into his image. So man is three parts, just like God is three parts. And we've talked about this in previous lessons. So in essence, this body I talk about dies, but the spirit, the soul of man lives on because of the breath of the Lord that he breathed into us. And we became, the word says, we became a living soul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So in essence, we certainly need a harvest today. There are disparities in our communities. There are famines going on, there's earthquakes going on, and certainly when we look at Haiti and we see the missionaries who were taken captive. Now, I want to say this. Don't think that the enemy will not be reprimanded or not be taken care of because they have touched God's anointed. The Bible says, "Touch not God's anointed and profit no harm." And I'm paraphrasing, because God is a just God. And he said, even in this word that we're talking about, we're actually talking about the harvest belongs to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. So in essence, because we belong to the Lord, God will make and fight for us. And we're praying for their well-being, but certainly the people that kidnapped the children of God don't understand what they have done and how they have jeopardized their lives. So you may say in the back of your mind, why? What's going on? Why do I keep pushing? But we keep pushing. We keep putting our hands on the plow to move forward because God has ordained it, because God has said, what I have done in your life, I want you to show forth that light, because there's somebody out there that don't know that God will fight our battle. There's somebody, there's some seeds that you have planted because the Lord has indicated and given you the unction under the anointing of God to plant those seeds that will reap a harvest that you won't see until you get up to the heavens, get up in heaven. And the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And you will begin to see the seeds that you planted and how you worked for God's for God and have given him your life. So let's talk about who King Joseph, Jehoshaphat was in the Bible. Ooh, King Jehoshaphat, of course, was the fourth king of Judah under the divided monarchy. He was the son of Asa. He was the first to introduce himself in 1 Kings 15 and 24. But we are told nothing about that he succeeded Asa. Now, 1 Kings 22 and 42 tells us that he was 35 years old when he began the reign, and that he reigned for 25 years. Now, 1 Kings 22 gives a brief account of his reign with 2 Chronicles 14 and 22. And this will give a more comprehensive history. Now, spiritually, Jehoshaphat began his reign in a positive way. And we see that in 2 Chronicles 17, verses 3 through 6. This gives us the commendation. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. Now, we have to understand that Judah will have only one patriarch or one succession. So everybody that's coming out the line of Judah will be related to David. And David will be the father. So when you get in scripture and you see it says the ways of his father, meaning that David is the father of this succession or this bloodline. Mm-hmm. So even though you may have so many kings in Judah, there's only one bloodline, and that is David. So they refer to David as the father, the patriarch, if you want to call him the patriarch. But he was everyone down the line of succession will be offsprings of his seed. Continuing on, he did not consult Baal, but sought the Lord, the God of his fathers, and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. So at this time it says divided kingdom. So you had Israel, you had Judah. And of course, when we look at Israel, Israel did not follow after the ways of God. Some of the kings did some good stuff, but it seemed that they couldn't get away from idolatry and sin. The Lord would establish the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed all high places and Asar's poles from Judah. In addition, Jehoshaphat sent men throughout the kingdom to teach the people the law of God. So at this time, it seemed like, you know, as soon as a judge would die off, they would go back to idolatry. And when you look at the Bible, and when you look at the progression, and when you look at the scriptures, we don't really understand that there is a progression of history, a progression of time. And certainly that Bible builds on each other. It builds scriptures and text builds on each other, and they give a picture that's phenomenal in how God works, how God delivers, how God sets free, how God moves for his people. So we begin to see that God plants and we water and he gets the harvest. So when we see what's going on in Second Chronicles, there was an alliance of nations that would march against Judah, but Jehoshaphat would seek the Lord. He would fast for 3 days, and he would consult the prophet of that time. And the prophet told Jehoshaphat that Judah would be delivered without fighting, that Jehoshaphat would go into the battle with singers and praising and lifting up God, and those alliances of those nations would turn against each other and they would be killed. The men of Judah spent 3 days collecting the spoils of war. And that's the way God is. If we obey what God has given us or God told us to do, we will definitely reap a harvest. We don't have to fight in the battles of this world. So a lot of times we try to figure out if the bills are due, we don't have money, health issues, challenges of all nations, our kids are acting up, and yet we fight in this battle. But the Lord is saying, if we belong to him, if there's favor that has been found in us, then God will work it out and he will deliver us. He will fight our battles. So in essence, when we look at it, the Bible stated that the battle belonged to God. Jehoshaphat had put his people again on the fast. They went before the Lord in prayer, and he told them that they didn't have to fight. Now, we understand some principles. So I'm planting a seed, and the harvest is mine. Also, that positions yourself to do the work of the Lord. So in essence, the battle is not physical. Our weapons are not physical. Our weapons are able to pull down strongholds, arguments, and high things, the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. The war is that which exalts against the knowledge of God or the word of God. Victory is achieved by bringing every thought into captivity and the obedience of Christ. Uh-huh. So in essence, God is saying that it is the harvest belongs to him. We have to position ourselves. We have to set ourselves up to know that he will give us the victory. We understand that this is not a physical fight. And our seed in the harvest is spiritual, and it manifestations are our seed in the harvest is spiritual. And I want to make that clear. I don't want to get too fast here. The seed in our harvest is spiritual with manifestations in the supernatural, not the supernatural, but the physical. Satan, you're lying. Hallelujah. So in essence, our seed in a harvest is spiritual and with a manifestation in the physical. Ephesians 6 and 12 say, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual foes of evil in heavenly places. 1 Corinthians 15 and 25 reads, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Wicked spiritual entities have been put under the feet of Jesus. Therefore, we have the authority over our enemies. Understand that the realm of the spirit, there is so much more to life than this physical world we're experiencing through our five senses. The physical world around us exists within the spiritual realm. We need to understand that God is spirit. Therefore, we must comprehend the domain, the nature of spirit, and the nature of spiritual warfare. God is all powerful. He is a spirit. So the true worshipers, we must worship God the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Why? Because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So in essence, we are living in a physical world that has manifestations of spiritual foes. So in essence, when we look at our harvest, when we look at the struggle that you're having, maybe having a struggle planting that seed, maybe having a struggle, it seems like reaping the harvest, because that is spiritual, because our harvest is the manifestations may be a physical manifestation, but we're planting the seed spiritually, and we have to gird ourselves accordingly to understand that it is reaping time, and we've got to pull down those strongholds. We've got to pull down every foe that comes against us. We've got to pray and seek God just like Jehoshaphat did, and we've got to stay on the wall to know that God will do for us if our ways please him. Now, the problem with Jehoshaphat is that he kept trying to get alliances with Israel. He connected himself with Ahab, and Ahab was an evil king. He married Jezebel. Not only was he so influenced by Ahab and his practices, Jehoshaphat's son would marry Ahab's daughter and in essence caused Judah to sin. And God warned Jehoshaphat, look, do not connect yourself with evil. And we are being warned today, don't connect yourself with evil. Understand that this world is sinful, and understand, and you've got to guard what you connect yourself with so you can reap a harvest. You can't connect yourself with everything. You can't look at everything. You can't be friends with everyone, because you have to understand, and you have got to allow the Lord to lead and guide you. You can't go to church everywhere, because you've got to allow the Lord to lead and guide you. You've got to have your senses primed to understand, see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it. You've got to be primed to, with spiritual senses, to understand which way to go as we go into this, as we go out of, as we get closer to Halloween. Oh, Halloween is one of the most demonic, satanic activities of the year, because Satan is all out playing in his demonic practices. And his kingdom is ever present, and his kingdom is getting stronger, and he's trying to make the world believe that he's not that bad. But Satan is a bad dude, and we've got to guard ourselves accordingly. So what are you saying, Dr. Carey? I'm saying that we have to understand that this is harvest time. We know that at least two festivals are focused on the harvest. Those festivals are the harvest or first fruits coming the spring, and then they look at the 50 days after Pentecost, which is the festival of booths. And it falls at the end, harvest is in the fall. So we know that when we look at harvest time, we look at farmers, and we look at the fact that they have plowed and they're reaping, and this is the time you see the corn and the hay and stocks, and may have seen cottons that have been gathered to be sown. So in essence, we see the first fruits came to the priest. And he would offer them to the Lord. If a person brought them, then the Lord accepted them as long as they were done with the prerequisites or the instructions that God has given us. So as we close on today, I want to encourage you to understand that whatever you're trying to do in the name of the Lord, the harvest belongs to God. And we don't do it in our own strength. We do it with the strength of the Lord. We plant. God gives water. He reaps the harvest. And he just uses us as vessels to plant. Because in essence, the seed still belongs to him. We belong to him. And everything that we put our hands to do for him, he will bless us. That is the promise that he's given to us, that he will not keep us lacking in nothing. If we step 2 feet towards him, he would do the rest. And certainly, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for the word that has been given on today. I pray that something has been said, that you reap the benefits. I pray, God, that you open up the windows of heaven and you pour out a blessing. I pray that this word falls on fertile ground, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that if somebody hears this tape, hears this message, God, I pray, God, that if they're not saved, that God should give them the desire to be saved. I pray, God, that you'll change their hearts. I pray, God, that you'll draw them close to you. I pray, God, that you'll open up their understanding and give them an understanding of who you are. God, you're a loving God. You're a caring God, and we thank you. We thank you for the things that you've given to us. We thank you, God, for putting seed in our hands. And as we plant those seeds, this is a seed that's being planted. I pray that this seed will produce a harvest for you. I pray, God, that people will see and hear the word and be saved. I pray, God, that people will hear the word and be changed. I pray, God, that people will hear the word and be delivered. I pray, God, that people will hear the word and be set free. I pray, God, that we destroy the yoke of bondage that are on the people. As we go through mental health issues, as we crying out like never before, as suicide is on the all-time high, we break the spirits. We break the spirit of suicide, mental health. We cast joy, unspeakable joy, joy, joy in the morning. God, you said you'll wipe away our tears and you will give us the garment of prayer for the spirit of heaviness. And God, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, if there's somebody out there that's heavy, God, we pray, God, that you'll touch them right now. We pray, God, that you'll move that spirit, God. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Holy Spirit, direct us and guide us. Holy Spirit, break those yokes right now. God, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray right now for each and every one, God, that listens to this blog. We pray their strength in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you'll break every yoke and bondage, God, that is on the people of God. Oh, they feel restless. They feel anxious. They feel depressed. But we pray right now for them, God. God, we pray right now, God, that you'll give us the spirit of joy unspeakable, God. Oh, let us praise you. Let us get like the Levites and go to praising and worship you. We know the Psalms were set to music, God, and we sing anew to you a joyful song. Oh, bless our souls, Holy Spirit. God, sure God and King of kings and Lord of lords, there's none like you. You are shield and our buckler. You are our refuge and our fortress. In you will we trust. We magnify you. We thank you, God, and we bless your name. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. We worship and adore you. We thank you, God, because you're healing, you're delivering, and you're setting free. Hallelujah. Bless your name. God, continue to touch those that have donated to this ministry, God. We pray a very special blessing, God, that those that you will touch their hearts to continue, God, to support this ministry, Father God. We pray for every board member. We pray for everyone that's attached to this ministry, and we pray their strength. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you, each and every one, know that God will keep you. Know that God will see you through. And I will talk with you again on next month, Lord willing. God bless. Bye-bye.